I just have a thought. We won't be long if you open your Bibles to John chapter number 4. That's all it is. It's just a thought. John chapter 4. When you find your place, please stand and we'll honor the reading of God's Word. I believe God wants to do something this morning. Miss Mary's talking about being a lost church member. You might be a lost church member. You might be going through the routine of coming to church and doing right and all that. But you know what? You might have something missing. The key piece, the main piece, the only piece. You might be missing Jesus Christ, the Holy Ghost living inside of you. You know what she said? Examine yourself. The Bible says, let every man work out. Let him prove it. Let him, salvation between God. It's a one-on-one thing. It's not me, you, and the God, or the pastor, you and God. It's between you and God. Examine your heart today. BJ used that word, prepare. Examine your heart. Prepare your heart. God gave me a little thought, and prepare your heart to receive it this morning. John chapter number 4. If you find your place, say amen.
Amen.
The Bible says in verse number 1, it says, when therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. I'll stop there. You know the story. And I just want to preach a little while on, he must needs go. He must needs go. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you. You can be seated this morning. As I began thinking about this, and I won't be up here long. Like I said, I just have a thought. I don't have any outlines or this or that, but I got a word from heaven. I got the Bible, and I just want to preach on that for a little while, on he must needs go through Samaria. As I began thinking this morning, and I had several different thoughts. Last night, we went out to eat at Cracker Barrel, and preacher, we have different thoughts. We got different messages and outlines and stuff, but it's not the one for the hour. I believe God sends a message for the hour, for the service, for that particular service. It's not like we have about four or five different messages, and we think, well, they all come from God, so they all must be of God, and they must be for this service. So we just flip a quarter, and if it lands on heads, we'll preach this, or tails, we'll preach that. That's not how it works. We pray and we seek after God, and God says, all right, this is the path that I want you to go. This is a message for the hour, and I want you to preach this message to this group of people. I began praying last night, and it's like I had about, I don't know, four or five different things, but it was all just wet wood. There wasn't nothing in there that had any fire. There's nothing in there. I mean, it sounded good, it looked good, and it was outlined and everything, but it just wasn't there. I began thinking about he must needs go through Samaria. He must needs go through Samaria. And I began thinking on that, and it's like God said, there it is. I want you to preach on that. And I thought, well, God, I ain't got an opening. I ain't got a closing. I ain't got nothing. All I got is just a thought. He said, go with that thought. So with God's help, this morning I want to preach a little while. He must needs go through Samaria. In Sunday school, I jotted down a few things, and a few things that was on my heart and mind I want to share with you. But he must needs go through Samaria. As I began thinking about this, you know the difference between the Jews and the Samaritans. You go back through what we studied in Sunday school about how they were intermingled and everything, about how they didn't get along. They hated each other. They didn't get along. The Jews and the Samaritans and all that, Samaria and the Judah and all that. They didn't get along. If they were going to make a passage and go up, they'd literally go around Samaria. They wouldn't go through that. They didn't want to associate those people. They didn't want to speak to those people. They're willing to go out of the side of their way and make it harder on themselves. That way, they wouldn't have to pass by and mingle and talk and to come in contact with those people. I tell you, a lot of times that's what we try to do in our lives. We try to go around those people. We try to miss those people. We try to avoid those people. But you know what? Just because they don't believe what we do and they don't act like we do, we try to go away from those people. But you know what? I believe those are the people we need to try to get to. We need to try to reach those people. They might believe in a different God, but you know what? We know my God is real. We know that our God is able, and he's not willing that any should perish, but they all come to repentance. And you know what? Even if they call God Muhammad or Buddha, all that, that's not our God. But you know what? We know our God has a heart for those people. Our God has a heart for them. Our God laid down his life for those people, and he's willing to save those people. Let's not avoid those people. Let's get out there and reach them. You see, these Jews, they would walk around that. They didn't want to associate with that. But you know what? Look at verse number 4. Or verse 3 says, and he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. Verse 4 says, and he must needs go through Samaria. You see, you don't know what was happening. His disciples thought, well, Master, why don't we just go around? Ain't nothing good in Samaria. Why are we going to go through there? He didn't answer, but you know what? We can read. We can find out what happened. There was a divine appointment. A woman was coming to a well one day. He said, She needs to know what I am. She needs what I have. They came through there, and you know what? He sent his disciples into the town. They said, all right, you want me? Go on in there. He said, I'm going to go over there, and I'm just going to sit down here on this well. Bible says, Jesus, being weary with his journey, sat thus on the well. He got there before that woman. You know what he did? He sat and he waited on her. I wonder how many times God's waited on us. I wonder how many times God's wanting to bring us to that higher level. God wants us to go further. God wants us to go deeper. God wants us to know more, to trust more, to put our faith to the test, to give us more faith to go on and accomplish great things. I tell you, I don't want to get too far behind God. God has to wait on me. I tell you, in the reverse, I don't want to get too far ahead of God that I get too far out in front of God. But you know what? I want to walk hand in hand with my Savior. I want to go as far as He wants me to go. You know what? Let us not just sit down. Let Him not get too far ahead of us that we can't keep up. Hey, church, how far are you with Him? Is He having to sit down on that well waiting for you to come? Or is He right beside of you? Don't run off and leave Him. Don't go far too behind. See, we need to examine our heart, prepare our heart, make sure He's with us. But Jesus here, He's sitting on the well. You know what? The Bible says that He was being wearied from His journey. I tell you, He was a man, but He was God. He was 100% man, but He was 100% God. I tell you, He was just like us. The things that we face, He faced. The Bible says that He being tempted, yet without sin. Everything we face, He faced. And you know what? He was victorious. He accomplished that. He resisted that. He was tempted to Satan. Three times He said, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone. It is written. He used His word against him. He was the word. He resisted that. And you know what? The Bible says angels came down and ministered to him. You think about all the things that he faced. He grew sleepy, didn't he? I read about one time he was on a boat and he was over there and they had to go wake him up. That means he grew tired. You know what? I believe he grew thirsty. He got hungry. When he was on the cross, what did he say? He said, I thirst. You know what? I believe he cried, didn't he? He had a broken heart. Whenever he went over there and Mary, Martha, and Lazarus died, you know what he said? He cried. You know what? He has feelings. He grew weak. He grew tired. Here he grew weary and tired. What did he do? He sat down on that well. He's wore out. He just sat down. Can you imagine the disciples saying, all right, he went over there to that well and just sat down and said, I'm going to stay here for a while. If you go on into that town, get some meat. I got an appointment coming up. There's a woman that's coming up on that side. She needs what I have. I'm just going to sit right here and wait for her. I know she's a little far behind. I know she's not here right now, but she's coming. She's right on the way. She's just right over there. Y'all go on. I'm going to hang back. I'm going to wait on her. I tell you, I'm glad that God passed by my way. Whenever I was a little boy, He came by Pleasant Home Baptist Church. You know what? I believe He sat down right there and He waited on me. He said, you know what? He's not saved now, but He will be. He doesn't know it now. I'm just going to wait right here. He'll pass by. The Holy Ghost goes out there and fetch Him. He's coming. I'm going to wait on Him. I'm thankful that God waited on me. I'm thankful that God sat down and He had what I had. He presented Himself to me. I know that woman. You go read your Bible. She said, you know, I believe the Messiah. So when He'll come, He'll veil all things. You know what Jesus said? Basically, Jesus said, I'm paraphrasing. This is a Shoemaker version. He said, the person you speak, I'm Him. That's me. He said, you talk to Him. That's me. You're talking to Him. And she went into the city. She said, come see a man that told me all the things I've ever done. Come see the man. Is not this the Christ? She started out saying, you know, why are you even talking to me? Aren't you a Jew? The Jews ain't supposed to have any relationships with us. You're just a Jew. And you keep on reading. She went from a Jew to, aren't thou a prophet? I perceive thou art a prophet. No, are you a prophet? And later on, you know what she did? She ran away saying, come see the man. Come see the man. Is not this the Christ? You see how it progressed. The more she hung around, the more she started talking to him. Went from being a Jew to a prophet to being the man, Christ. You know what? She went away. I came to all this. I'm glad that He was God. He got sleepy. He got thirsty. He got tired. He cried. But you know what? All that, that's a human aspect of Him. But you know what? I'm glad the God aspect of Him. He was still able to touch those blinded eyes. He was still to raise up those crippled. He was still willing to make those dumb people talk. He was still making those deaf ears hear. He was still doing all that. He'd say, you know what? Thy sins be forgiven. Rise up and walk. He did all those things. I'm thankful to God. He's still able to pass by. And you know what? He's still able to do a work. What God did, He still can do. You know, the God that brought revival, He's still the God of revival. He can still stir our hearts. He can still do the things that we can't do. He can still do the things that needs to be done. It's going to only have to come through Him. You think about even His speech. Oh, what manner of man is this? That even the wind and seas obey Him. He just went out there and said, "Peace, be still." And they just laid down. Amen. You think about what a great man. Yet he grew weary on his journey. Very one that spoke things into existence. The Bible says in Colossians over there in the first chapter, I says, "With all things him consist. Without him nothing was existed. All things because of him consisted." Spoke everything to existence. "Let there be light," and there was. So you think about what God that was. How great he is. He sat down that well waiting for that woman. Last thing, and I'm done. You know what she was looking for? She was looking for water. You think about that woman. She's walking there, coming to the well. You know what she was carrying? An empty bucket. She didn't have nothing. She was empty. You know what I believe a lot of people, they come to church, they're just carrying an empty bucket. They ain't got no water in there. They ain't got nothing in it. It's just an empty bucket. And they're looking. They're seeking. They're searching for something to fill them. If you go back and you read what she said to Jesus. He said, "You want to give me a drink? I thirst." She said, "I ain't got nothing to draw from." And Jesus said, "Well, if you know the water I'm talking about, you'll never thirst again." You know what she said? "Lord, give me the drink. I'll never thirst." Well, she was wanting that. She was seeking that. But so many times in our life, I believe that we have something. God has something that he wants to give us. But you know what? We're not willing to come and ask for him. I tell you, what do you have in your life? What's missing in your life that God can give you? The Bible says in James, "You have not because why? You ask not." Is your heart prepared like BJ said? As Miss Mary said, examine your heart. I tell you, are you missing your shout? Why don't you come to the well? He's waiting by the well. I believe he's sitting there. I believe a lot of people, they've lost their joy. They lost their shout. They lost their smile. They lost something from him. Whether you let the enemy take it or you gave it away. The Bible says, "A thief cometh not, but steal, kill, and destroy. But I'm come that they might have life and have it more abundantly." The Bible says over there, in Ephesians 5, I believe it says, "Be not drunk with wine, where is it excess, but be filled with the Spirit." So if he says be filled, there's the opposite, to be empty. I believe so many times that we go around, we're not filled with the Spirit. We're empty. But you know what? I believe if we go to God, we ask him, "Lord, would you fill me up? God, would you use me? God, would you just help me? Lord, I need help." You know what? He'll do it for us. That woman is coming up that side, empty, carrying an empty bucket, nothing. Coming to a well to get water. You know that water, it was temporary. It wouldn't last. She'd go back. You know what? She'd have to come back. Have to go back again. Can I tell you, you just keep coming to church and leaving empty. It's nothing lasting. I tell you, you might need to be saved. God might need to do a work. You know what she did? Whenever she got that living water, she didn't thirst for the other stuff. She wasn't concerned about that. She ran into the city. She said, "Come see a man. It's not this the Christ." So you might be going through the motions. You might be like Miss Mary said, a lost church member coming in and just putting on a show, wearing a suit, wearing a tie, putting on a dress, going through the motions. You might try to pray. You might try to study. You might try all those things. But deep down on the inside, you're empty, just like this woman. I tell you, the Holy Ghost knows your heart. He knows our heart. He knows us better than we know ourselves. Did you know that? What's God telling your heart right now? The Holy Ghost speaks to your heart. I'd be saying, you know what? He's right. That preacher's right. You're empty. You're empty. I tell you, that's what the Holy Ghost says. He speaks to our heart. I'm not crazy. I know what I'm talking about. The Holy Ghost, he's not going out there and pour out read a paper off to you. I mean, just a big old thing. Sometimes it's just a few words. The Holy Ghost speaks to our heart. Preacher's right. He's right. That's you. You need help. You're empty. You're lost. I can help you. I tell you, he's a perfect gentleman. I tell you, he's not going to open that door. But you know what he'll do? He'll knock. Is God knocking at your heart's door? I know that I'm talking about that in Revelation. It's talking about the church, him standing, behold, stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice coming to him, I'll sup with him and him with me. I know what I'm talking about. But you know what? We can learn that salvation about how God works with that heart. Holy Ghost trying to pierce that heart, trying to get in, do a work. Is he trying to do that to you today? I believe somebody, God's working on somebody's heart. I say, why don't you just give in? Are you tired of just putting on a show? Are you tired of just going through the motions? Deep down, you're empty. Deep down, you're bare. I mean, it's just empty. A void. You have to fake a smile. Are you tired of faking your smile? I tell you, God can give you real joy. God can give you a smile that will last. I tell you the difference between happiness and joy. Happiness comes. It's from a happening. Something happens near your life. Hey, I got a gift. That makes me happy. But you know what? In a year or two, I'll forget about it. But you know what joy is? Joy is eternal. That joy is present. Whenever the storms are raging, your life's falling apart, you still have that joy. You still have that victory. That comes from Christ. I heard a preacher say this. Sometimes, whenever your life feels like it's just falling to pieces, sometimes those pieces are falling into place. I say, preacher, my life is just falling apart. I tell you, God might be doing that, allowing them broken pieces to fall into the place that He wants them to go. As we stand over the house this morning, I'm done.